From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the Lord's face for His blessing upon our coming together. Our eternal God and gracious Father in heaven, it is with rejoicing we bow in Thy sacred presence. We come before Thee acknowledging that Thou art God. Thank the Lord, Thou art the God of creation. More importantly, Thou art the God of our salvation. Oh, how we rejoice today in the triumph of the gospel. We thank Thee that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You, Lord, for that lovely promise in Thy word. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, we rejoice in that lovely verse of Scripture that we're all so familiar with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We recognize, Lord, we're living in a world that is perishing because of sin. Sin abounds in every hand. But we thank Thee that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And we're glad today that there is life. There's hope for this old world. There's hope for the poor sinner today. Because Christ has died, has paid the ransom price for our redemption, and is risen again victorious over death and the grave. Thank You, Lord, there's life today for a look at the crucified one. And our prayer is, as we assemble together, sing the songs of Zion, meditate upon Thy word, oh, that Thou wilt be pleased to reveal Thyself afresh to us. Encourage every child of God. Lead us on with Thyself. Lead us on to higher ground. And in and through us, glorify Thy dear Son. For any, Lord, who may watch this program, who don't know the Lord, oh, in mercy we pray, grant to them that gift of repentance and faith. May they be ready to finish with sin and to lay hold upon Christ, the one whom to know is life eternal. Own this meeting time for Thine own glory, we pray of Thee, and grant that as a result Thy kingdom will be extended and glory will be brought to Thy great name we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're breaking in at the verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word for his own name's sake. We're going to sing together that well-known hymn, Ho, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky.
thank the Reverend McLernan for leading tonight and for reading the scriptures. And we are drawing your attention to the verses that he read for us. Those verses bring our attention to events on a very notable day in a valley called Elah. Elah was located and is located just southwest of Jerusalem, and it stretches out for about half a mile or so. There's a little brook there, and the sides of the valley are very rocky. There would be trees scattered here and there. And on this particular occasion, for 40 days, standing among those rocks and trees, were the Philistines with Goliath the giant on board. The Philistines perhaps had sensed weakness in the leadership of Saul when he previously, not very long ago, had not been obedient to the words of Samuel and had not fully done what he had been asked to do. The Philistines were seeking to come up the Elah Valley, as that would be, as it were, a back door to where they wanted to be. It was absolutely crucial that they would be stopped. And we could say now, enter David. The details in the scripture before us remind every one of us tonight that God sometimes uses the ordinary day and the ordinary person to do extraordinary things. This particular valley, Elah, was the scene of one of the most significant battles that have ever been fought. What happened on that occasion continues to encourage and to stir and to motivate believers today. So please notice three things with me as we consider together Operation Elah. Could you notice, first of all, the unsettling atmosphere? In verses 41 through verse 44, the giant Goliath is dominating the scene. A theme of fear and frustration has now been added to by the force of actually seeing this man, Goliath. This theme of fear and frustration has been building up throughout the chapter. In verse 28, we have David's oldest brother, Eliab, and he says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. That is, David had been making inquiry what would happen if he were to go out and to face the Philistine champion. When he heard, he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Eliab was no doubt a man who was filled with envy, and he was now in a rage as he thought that his younger brother might have the prominence instead of him. He tried to make little of David, and what he said was unjust, it was dishonourable, and I no doubt that it was grieving to the Lord. Eliab, you see, would have been aware of the situation with David dealing with the bear and with the lion before this particular time. David, in his very measured reply, simply says, what have I done? Eliab was a stumbling block. But in verse 33, there was another difficulty, because we have Saul, and he says, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Saul is on edge, because in his heart of hearts he knows that he should have been leading and going out to confront the Philistines. And you have then in verse 42 and verse 43, words that have already been read that give us details of what Goliath had to say. His words are full of arrogance and disdain for the young David. But the one thing that Goliath did not do was factor God in. And ladies and gentlemen, David is convinced that God's honour is at stake. And now, having taken up the gauntlet, he is misunderstood and he is despised. And you and I, we can almost feel the tension in the air on that occasion. It's right, I believe, to say that to natural military procedure, David would not have been the man. However, we also add that David's hope was resting in God, and that God's hand would be with him, and he would do what he could. So you have fear and force looking down contemptuously on faith. It's the same for Christians today, wherever you are listening in the world. God wants his people to go forward, and his cause must go forward. And our job is to make sure that when we can, we see to it that the enemy does not take any ground that has been obtained. God's word today is disregarded and hated by many. His name is dishonored. His work is misunderstood. Sometimes his servants are mistreated. And with the huge growth in secularism and humanistic thinking, these things in themselves have become giants. And I could be speaking to someone this evening, and in your particular situation, maybe just gathering together as a little group of God's people, wishing to do what you can for the Lord, you're very conscious of your weakness, and you're acutely aware of your limitation. But brethren and sisters, that could be the very thing that would qualify you for serving the Lord. You see, God can still take the ordinary and use them to do the extraordinary. If we are faithful to him and endeavor to go forth with his word and with prayer, then God can use his great power to bring about great change in lives and communities in any given part of the world. Some great words that the Apostle Paul offered to the church at Corinth long ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 4 he says to them, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The weapons of our warfare, brethren and sisters, are prayer, God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and indeed the unique ministry of the third person of the Trinity. It says in this verse 4 that through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the enemies of truth are no pushover. It also says there that casting down imaginations, which means, the word literally means false reasonings, which indeed covers a lot of what we see in the world today. And that which exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, that is usurpers. You and I are in a battle. And it's right to say that even in the most civilized of countries, as you seek to go forward in God's work, in God's way, with God's word, you are in a hostile atmosphere. An atmosphere that can unsettle you. But this did not stop David, and I trust it will not stop us. Brings me to my second thought. There's not just the unsettling atmosphere, but there is David's unfazed approach. In verse 48 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine, that is Goliath, arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." There had been direct dealings between David's soul and God in the solitude of the hills as he looked after the sheep. And David was in communion constantly with the Lord. And he understood, folks, that he had to use what he had. He used the tools of his trade that he used for looking after the sheep, his sling and a few stones. On the human level, David was ready now to advance. But he advanced in faith, a faith that had been nursed over the years as he looked after the flocks. It was now time to go forward. Over there in the book of Exodus in chapter 14, when the Lord is directing and guiding Moses, it says there in verse 15 of chapter 14, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Yes, there's a time to pray and a time to seek the Lord. But then the word says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." It was now time to go. Time to seek to advance. The evangelical church today, you and your group of believers, just wherever you are, whether there are many or few, you feel your own limitation. But remember today that David's God hasn't changed. And he still makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Many years ago, whenever Moses had passed away, Joshua was the reluctant new leader of Israel. But the Lord, as he always does, sought to encourage him. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance." What a promise this was of God's presence, God's provision, and God's power. And folks, it's still the same for us today. And may the Lord help all of us as we look out and we see the giants of secularism and humanistic teaching, and in a world that by and large doesn't seem to care. May the Lord help all of us to get on with it, as David sought to do. There was his unfazed approach. And finally, could I say, as we look at these verses, there was his unique attack. For in verse 45, it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." What David is simply doing is implying his own identification by faith with that sacred name. He is at one with God. And it is in the name of God that he is coming. Now he's saying the whole matter is in God's hands. And at that he goes out and he actually engages the enemy. I have to say that his attack was deliberate. He didn't cast the stone haphazardly, but he directed it at the main threat, which was Goliath. His specific objective was to honor the Lord. And he went forward leaning upon the Lord and trusting in him. Over there in 2 Chronicles, and chapter 14 and verse 11, we have a man called Asa, a man who was used of the Lord. He came to the throne as a young man and could have lived carelessly and recklessly, but he used the time that was given him. He utilized that time to prepare for battle. And then the day came when he was confronted by a vast enemy. And in his prayer to the Lord in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 and verse 11, it says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest or we lean on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." The spirit of Asa was a kindred spirit to that of young David that day in the battle at Elah. And brethren and sisters, as you and I consider the greatest work of all, that is the Lord's work. Remember that God is on the side of his people, that his work must always go forward. And whatever the giant obstacles might appear to be, remember that God is still willing and able to undertake for all of those who will endeavour to do what they can for him. Over in 2 Corinthians, and in the first chapter, it says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, Paul has been speaking about the many difficulties that he's had. And then in verse 10 of chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians, he refers to the Lord. And he talks about deliverance. And he says, who hath delivered us from so great a death? You and I consider how we were candidates for hell, and the Lord delivered us. And then he says here, and doth deliver. God's still delivering his people right now and making a way. But then, as we look out to tomorrow, and we wonder how will we ever do in the great battle for truth, Paul here encourages the people by saying, and he will yet deliver. He will yet deliver. And may the Lord impart to his people everywhere the spirit that David had long ago that day when there was that battle at Elah. Operation Elah. Let's unite together in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you this evening for thy work and for thy word. We thank you, Lord, that thy word is still a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Bless thy church. Lord, raise up men to preach the word. And we pray that in these days of difficulty and darkness, that God's name might be honored and glorified. For we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.